Welcome to Missionary Echoes, an outreach ministry of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's so good to have you join us today.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
Sharing the gospel with others can be very intimidating. Sadly, there have been many false witnesses in our world who have misrepresented Jesus and used the gospel as a means to enrich themselves or give themselves a place of power that they have misused. Satan does his best to highlight these misrepresentations of the church and Christianity in his war against God as he attempts to flip the script of good and evil. But the truth will prevail. False representatives will face the judgment of God, and the unmatched grace and power of God cannot be overcome by the lies of Satan. Those who are true to God, cleansed from their sins, and walking in obedience to His Word can make a powerful impact in their sphere of influence as they share what God has done for them and point others to the God of hope. Today, we will air the second half of a message that Pastor Going shared in a series of messages considering the marks of a real Christian. The main scripture text he is looking at today is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. Here's Pastor Going.
You know, there's not one person that you speak to about their soul, not one person I preach to as a preacher of the gospel, but what the Holy Spirit hasn't already been there, speaking and working. I was reading an account. I had read it before, but I came across it again this past week of a preacher. He told about being on an airplane next to a young man who had a stack of maps of Mexico and some brochures about Mexico. And the preacher started a conversation with this young man, thought that maybe he was headed to be a missionary. But he found out this young man was a school janitor. He was just going on vacation to Mexico. And so the young man looked at the preacher and he said, "Well, what are you reading?" And he was reading a book on theology. And so the young man asked, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "I am." Then the preacher asked the young man, he said, "Are you a Christian?" The young man said, "Oh, no." He said, "I'm an atheist. At least I think I am." And he paused for a minute and he asked the preacher, said, "Do you believe in the power of prayer?" The preacher said, "Oh, yes, I do." And he proceeded to tell him about a recent answer to prayer in his life. The young man said, "That's wonderful." He said, "That's amazing. You know," he said, I think I might believe in the power of prayer." And he went on to tell this preacher, he said, "I had a vicious cycle of migraine headaches, and they were destroying me." He said, "I went to every specialist where I could, thought I could maybe find some medical help. I found no help at all." He said, "These headaches were so relentless. They were so intense that I thought about taking my own life." But he said, "That made me think religious people pray, and they say that helps sometimes." And he said, I decided it wouldn't hurt me to try to pray a little bit." But he said, "How does an atheist pray?" He said, "I didn't know if there was anybody to hear my prayer. And if there was somebody," he said, "I didn't know if he'd be interested in hearing my prayer." And so he said, "This is how I prayed. I prayed, 'I don't know whether you are or not. And I don't know whether you would or not, but if you are, and if you could, and if you would, I would be most grateful if you'd help me.'" And he said, "The most amazing thing happened. Those migraine headaches went away." And he said, "I thought to myself, what a lucky coincidence and what a happy one." Then I had a second thought. That's a cheap way out. What if there is somebody out there who's interested in me? What if there is somebody who did this and I need to give him some credit? And so he said, I decided to pray again. And I prayed, I don't know whether you did or not. I don't even know whether you are or not. But if you are and if you did, I want you to know I'm thankful. And he said, then I had another thought. He said, I thought about all the good things that have happened in my life. They just seemed to drop into my life. And so he said, I thought, what if there's somebody out there who cares enough about me that he did these things to show me his goodness, and I've just taken them for granted. I've never stopped to thank him. And so he prayed again. He said, I don't know whether you did all those things or not, but if you did, I want you to know that I'm thankful. Well, that got the preacher pretty interested in this atheist school janitor. He said, the first thought I had was, you might think you're an atheist, but you're in a better position than a lot of professing Christians I know. And suddenly the young man looked at the preacher. He said, do you think this conversation is by accident? The preacher laughed. He said, no, I really don't. He said, I wasn't even supposed to be on this plane. I'd planned to be on another flight. And the young man laughed a little. He said, that's fascinating. He said, I'm not supposed to be on this plane either. He said, when I got my ticket, the clerk told me it was a nonstop flight from Chicago to Mexico City. I got on this plane and found out there were two stops along the way. He said, I was so mad about it, but then I decided that's no way to start a vacation. And he said, I don't think this conversation was an accident. Well, about that point, things are just really starting to get good. And the wheels of the plane hit the landing strip. And that preacher said, when I felt the jar of the landing, I thought, Lord, you can't let this conversation stop now. I've just gotten to the place where I can tell him about you. But he said, in that moment, it seemed that God spoke to him and said, well, I thought I was doing a pretty good job with him myself before you got to him. That preacher said that experience that day changed his attitude towards witnessing and towards preaching. He said, I've come to realize that we are never first and we're never alone in witnessing or in preaching the gospel of Jesus. We never arrive in somebody's life before the Holy Spirit. We never touch somebody before God touches him. He said, when God leads us to somebody, he's been there before us. Folks, that ought to give us some courage this morning. That ought to give us some confidence to step out by faith and fulfill the Great Commission and share the Word of God, share the gospel. If we've been thoroughly convinced of the truth, then we should pray for the power and the boldness of the Spirit to proclaim the gospel. And then we trust that the Spirit will both empower us and apply the Word to the hearts of our hearers. That's how it worked in Thessalonica. Paul brought the word to them, and he preached the word in the power of the Spirit, and the Spirit worked in power through the word, and lives were transformed, and a holiness church was established in Thessalonica. But I want us to move on to the following verse. Verse number 5, these Thessalonians were receptive receivers of the gospel. But then I want you to notice in verse 6 that the Thessalonians were faithful followers of Paul and of Jesus. I find the wording interesting here in this passage where Paul brags on them that they were followers of us, he says, and of the Lord. What does he mean by that? These Thessalonians were looking to the example of their spiritual leaders. The Thessalonians watched Paul as he served God, and they imitated him. You remember what Paul told the Corinthians? He said, follow me as I follow Christ. There's a statement there about the importance of spiritual leaders living in such a way that our lives point others towards Jesus. And just as I would encourage you this morning to pray for the pastoral staff as we take on the importance of preaching God's word, I would ask that you would pray for us, pray for me, for Pastor Walter, for Pastor Sickler, that God would help us to live in such a way that we set a spiritual example, that we would be the kind of men who would live in such a way that our lives would point you towards Jesus and towards faithfulness. Paul said, you know what manner of men we were among you. In other words, you watched us and you know that we lived rightly. We showed love. We treated people well. We weren't liars. We kept our word. We were above reproach. We were men of integrity. We lived authentic, wholesome lives among you. And Paul said, you were followers of us. But then more importantly than that, he said, you were followers of the Lord. Now, the word that's translated follower in verse 6 is mimetes, from which we get our English word imitate or imitator. And Paul is saying one of the marks of a true Christian is that we are imitators of Jesus. Imitating Jesus, being Jesus' disciple, that's at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. I love that name, Christian. Don't you? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. And I'm glad to say I am a Christian. But the name Christian is not just a name, it's a way of life. To say I am a Christian is to say I am a follower of Jesus. To say I am a Christian is a statement of who I belong to and who I'm following. To say I'm a Christian, that ought to speak volumes about my personal identity. I am identified with Christ. I am one of his followers. Acts 11:26 tells us Jesus' disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And in that time, it was very common for a group of people who followed a certain teacher, a certain master, to take on that name. Now, in our day, we don't really have those master-disciple relationships. In fact, we Americans kind of pride ourselves for our individual thinking. We are independent people. But we all follow something or someone, whether we realize it or not, don't we? In the world of fashion, there are social media influencers on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and other platforms who have followers. And basically, these influencers tell people, well, this is the kind of clothes you ought to wear if you want to be stylish, if you want to be trendy. They tell you what to wear. And these followers who are interested in fashion and style go out and they buy whatever the influencer tells them they should. They follow the influencer. Have you ever noticed how popular colors change from year to year? Where a certain color, a certain combination of colors is really popular. You go into a clothing store and everything has these colors. Then the next year you go in and it's a totally different set of colors. Well, I didn't know this. I learned this a while back. But every year, color experts at the Pantone Color Institute carry out a process of research. And they determine by a variety of factors what colors are going to be the most popular colors for that year. And then they make that combination of colors public and they send it out to the textile industry. And so you get a lot of clothes made with those colors. You get upholstery of furniture with those colors. And even graphic design companies incorporate those colors. In case you're wondering what the color of the year is for 2025, anybody know? I looked it up. It's mocha mousse. And they describe it as a tasteful touch of glamour, a flavorful brown shade. You heard it first from me. I say all of that simply to illustrate the fact that in spite of saying we think for ourselves, we are following something. And when it comes to colors, a relatively small number of people are making a decision that affects an entire nation, if not even large segments of the world. You're following something or someone this morning. So our world understands what it means to be a follower. But to be a Christian is not to be a follower of fashion or of this or that. But to be a Christian is to be a follower of Jesus. The Thessalonians were followers of Jesus. To be a Christian is to be a disciple. I like how one person described very simply what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. He said to be Jesus' disciples means that we learn Jesus' teachings. We learn them from his word. And then to be his disciple, not only do we learn his teachings, but then we model his way of living. We learn his truth from his word, and then we copy, we imitate what we read. We follow Jesus, our leader. And then to be a disciple means I become like Jesus in my thoughts, in my attitudes, in my actions, in my words. I wonder this morning, would that be an accurate reflection of your life? Are you a disciple of Jesus? Could Paul look at your life like he looked at these Thessalonians? Could he look at how you live and say, that man, that woman, that young person, they are a true follower of the Lord? Could they say of you, he studies the word and he patterns his life after the scripture as he reads and the Spirit speaks? Could it be said of you, she's allowing her mind to be shaped by the Bible? She's being transformed. She doesn't think in selfish patterns anymore. She thinks like a Christian. Her perspectives are molded by the Word of God. Could that be said of you? Could it be said of you, that man, that woman is different than they used to be? There were some things they used to do they don't do. There were some habits and patterns in their life that aren't there anymore because they found in God's word what pleased him. And so they began to change. They were truly devoted followers. A disciple is a committed follower of Jesus, even when it's costly. You remember what Jesus said? If any man will come after me, let him take it easy and do what he wants and make his own decisions and just have a good grand old time. Now, we can have a grand old time serving Jesus if we have our priorities straight. There's joy in serving him. But what he said was, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. And take up his cross, sounds serious, and follow me. For whoever will save his life, whoever tries to preserve his life, ultimately is going to lose it. But whoever will lose his life, give up his life, his own way, for the sake of Jesus, the same shall save it. Walter Hendrickson, in his book, Disciples Are Made Not Born, wrote this. He said, Abraham didn't want to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Moses didn't want to go before Pharaoh. Joseph didn't want to spend all those years in prison. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. He asked if this cup could please pass from him. Nobody likes the cross. Nobody likes to deny himself. But this is what following the Lord is all about. A disciple is a disciplined person. He's the one who says no to what he wants and yes to what his Lord wants. The true disciple doesn't pamper himself by satisfying his own wants and desires. When Jesus is Lord of your life, when you're following him like the Thessalonians followed him, every area of life is under his direction. Nothing is untouchable. Your thought life, your plans for tomorrow, for next month, for next year, your job, even your downtime, your leisure time, it's up to him to help guide you in that. Your goals, all of these under the lordship of Jesus. I begin at the outset of the message talking about the marks of a real Christian. And sadly, there's a lot of counterfeits in our world. One writer put it like this. He said, many have come to believe that they can be a Christian without being like Christ. They can be a follower who doesn't follow. That doesn't make any sense at all, does it? He said, many people in the church have taken on the name of Christ, but nothing else. But a disciple is one who follows. Who follows. Many people have taken on the name of Christ, but they've not taken on much else. That'd be like Jesus walking up to those first disciples and saying, hey, would you guys mind identifying with me in some way? I don't care if you actually change anything. I'm just looking for people who say they believe in me to call themselves Christians. That'd be a waste of time. It's not what Jesus said. The fact is, becoming a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, is both the best thing and the hardest thing that you'll ever do. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to become a child of God, to have your sins forgiven, to be in a right relationship with God. But it's the hardest thing you'll ever do, because what Jesus actually said was, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. He didn't mean a person must literally hate his family, but he meant that your loyalty to Jesus must come even before your loyalty to your family, to your spouse, and even to life itself. Are you willing to give up your right to lead your own life and let God lead it and do his will? Jesus warned that those who didn't consider the cost of following him would not be his disciples. And I ask you this morning, have you counted the cost? Have you taken Jesus' words to heart? Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all he hath cannot be my disciple. Folks, that's a radical, radical call. But it's what Jesus asked. It's the call that Paul gave to the Thessalonian believers. And they answered the call and they found the joy of living for Jesus and walking with him. Have you answered that call? Are you faithfully living it out? If Paul were to come check on us, or if Paul were to send Timothy to check on the Lebanon God's missionary church, would he be able to go back and report, they're the real deal. They're true disciples. They're true followers of Jesus. God, help us to be faithful. God, help us to count the cost. God, help us to be true followers of him.
When you open up the Bible and read with eyes of faith, you'll find a grand love letter filled with heaven's grace. How a father's heart was broken, but still filled with such love, he sacrificed and gave us his one and only son. Every word, he is there with one message to be heard. Oh, let him share. Jesus has good news. He loves you and he's there. As you look through the pages and the chapters of your life, each one's a testimony of the love of Christ. The sinful story that you wrote there has been carefully erased, replaced with Calvary's pardon by the author of your faith. Every sentence, every word, he is there with one message to be heard. Oh, let him share. He is. every sentence, every word, He is there with one message to be heard. Oh, let Him share. Jesus has good news. He loves you. And He's there. He's there.
Ooh. You've been listening to a message preached by Reverend Curtis Going, the senior pastor of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. If you have any questions or comments about this broadcast, please call us at 717-273-3690 or email us at lebgmc@gmail.com. Missionary Echoes is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, we'd love for you to join us. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock in the evening for worship. On Wednesday nights, we gather for a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. On March 18th through the 23rd, we look forward to having Reverend Daryl and Regina Stetler sharing preaching and singing for a series of revival meetings. Tuesday through Saturday, the service will begin at 7 o'clock p.m. Then on Sunday will be our normal schedule at 10:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. We hope to see you in person, but if that's not possible, you can watch our services live online at lebanongmc.com. There you'll also find information on upcoming events and can even share prayer requests with us. My friend, we look forward to having you with us next week for another edition of Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you our Lord's blessing.
I read about how Paul and Silas